Welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland. This is my last time around for this show. It's been a great pleasure for the last, nobody knows for sure, 35 years anyway, maybe 36, hosting or co-hosting this show. And for the last 15 years, maybe, we've had on occasion live performances out of our Buck studio here. And what better way to round it out this last day of my watch than with one of our returning performers, and been returning since you were a teenager. You've been performing here on the midday. Welcome back, Ariella Borod.
Thank you, Norman. Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks in particular for working on your birthday today.
No way I'd rather spend it.
Well, we'd certainly be pleased and proud to share it with you today.
Thank you.
You're coming to us from Paris and other places.
That's right.
What have you been doing over there? You're from Madison, but what have you been doing over there?
So I was fortunate enough to move to Paris in September of 2024 on a scholarship program sponsored by the American Foundation in Paris. I was playing concerts over there, curating performances for their cultural program, and then I decided I would stay another year, and as luck has it, I will be staying indefinitely, I guess I can stay at this point, but I will be returning in September. A lot of performing, teaching, meeting and working with fabulous musicians, artists, working with my incredible teacher, Susanna Bartal, at the École Normale de Musique de Paris, and kind of butchering, but also working through some French, as I'm, you know, sharing with you right now. That's what I've been up to.
Any particular adaptations you've had to make coming from Madison, Wisconsin to Paris?
None. No, it's exactly the same.
I always thought so.
Well, I mean, the language, I think, is probably obvious, coming with what I thought was probably stronger language skills than I actually proved to really have. So learning a language, learning a culture, learning a people, while also learning the music that comes from there, it's a challenge, it's a joy, it was exactly what I was hoping for when I got over there. But there are some definite differences in coming from the Midwest and going to Europe, into a big city of Europe, that's true.
So if we just happen to be in Paris, is it possible that we would actually see you perform in public?
It absolutely would be possible. It is possible. I've had the great fortune of performing a lot at the Salle Cortot, which is affiliated with the school that I go to. It's in the 17th arrondissement. It's a legendary hall that I like to describe as a little jewel box. It's just a pristine, beautiful Art Deco situation there. And a couple of weeks ago, I performed at the Petit Palais, which was really lovely.
And what did you perform on that occasion?
On that occasion, I performed some things that I'm going to play today. I performed the Bartok Suite, which I'll perform today, Opus 14. I played the Liszt Ballade No. 2, which I will also be sharing with you. I played some works by Debussy, and then I ended with three movements from Ravel's Miroir, which is a beautiful set that I love. Always scary to perform French music for a French audience, but I think it went over, you know, as well as it could have.
But I'm sure it went over very well, and
thank
will
you
continue to do so. So what about this Bartok guy that you have lined up?
Well, this is a suite that I learned a very long time ago in the beginning when I was in high school, and then got to bring back for this concert at the Petit Palais. That's always fun, I think, as a performer, to see the what you carry with you in your life, and what you then decide to do differently as you revisit a piece. It's like an old friend. You learn new things about it as you continue to play it. But Bartok, this is a very rustic piece, as so much of his music is, very influenced by folk music, by sounds that you would find when he would go and he would record in the field recordings, music, sounds that he would use that would influence his music in Hungary and Romania. And so you hear that. It's a four-movement work. It's a little suite. They're like little dances is how I think of them.
Here we are. It's just called a Bartok Suite. And our pianist here in the Buck Studio is Ariella Borod.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been practicing.
Just a bit. Never enough, but just a bit.
And it's called, in this case, just a Bartok Suite, a pieces of a series of short dance pieces by Béla Bartók. Difficult not to kind of dance a little yourself when you're playing those pieces? They're so rhythmic.
Depends on how stressed I'm getting. But yes, definitely, definitely. I love how he's able to capture that. I love how he's able to do it. The juxtaposition between his melody and then whatever's happening in the left hand, that pulse, that bass that just will not stop, I love.
Well, I think our Mason and Hamlin piano here has made some sounds that has not made for a long time.
This poor thing.
it got a good workout, and it's wonderful stuff to explore. There's a fair amount of that to Bartók dance music to those short pieces.
Absolutely.
And yeah. He was a collector, wasn't he? He'd go around with this bulky recording equipment and record folk songs back in the 1920s.
That's right. That's right. You hear it in his music, for sure.
Lucky us, we get the results of that. And how do you actually prepare a piece like that? It's not like you can read the music exactly when there's that much going on.
Mm-hmm. I think like so much, really like any music, I don't think it's just limited to, you know, music of the contemporary epoch or Bartók's music, but it has a pulse, it has a heartbeat, and as long as you're locked into that and you're in sync with that, that's what drives you. You have to allow, I think, the piece to drive you. I mean, you cannot get then carried away and lose where you are. You still have to be in control in some ways. But if you fight against this pulse, then you're fighting against the piece. Then you're fighting against, I think, what you're, you know, trying to do, what you're trying to communicate. So, yes, of course, after you've, you know, done the work, you've learned the notes, you've drilled the scales, you've used the metronome, you have to accept the pulse into you and just let that take you.
I think that would be true of a lot of art forms. I mean, there's actors talk about the zone, for example.
Right, right.
And as soon as you become self-conscious, you lose the zone. You have to get kind of swept away by the part, or in this case, the music.
Right, exactly. And I don't think it's limited to, you know, music that is quite as obviously rhythmic as this. I think the same exists for Mozart, maybe. It exists for anything, really. But here I think it's most acute, it's most obvious in music like Bartók.
Now, one of the best known pianists of the 20th, maybe even the early 21st century, notable for his remarkable, I'm going to say flamboyance, but it was more than that. It was just sheer ability and showmanship put together, was Earl Wilde, and the aptly named Earl Wilde. Mm-hmm. And he applied that ability of his to a lot of pieces that he really enhanced for concert performance, such as?
Such as Embraceable You, and so many of the Gershwin songs. Yes, he allows us classical musicians to kind of moonlight in the jazz department a little bit. He gets to write it all down for us so that we can, you know, pretend that we ourselves are the ones improvising. So thanks to him, we have this repertoire.
Do you ever get tempted to do a little improvising when you get into something like that?
Tempted? Oof. I think I revere the art form too much to soil it with whatever I would do. But I would, I mean, yes, I am entranced by it. I love it. Maybe someday I'll try myself. But I haven't the courage yet.
Well, in the meantime, we do have Earl Wilde and Embraceable You, the George Gershwin standard.
Thank you.
George Gershwin's Embraceable You. That's reinvented by Earl Wilde, another phenomenal American pianist. So we have a phenomenal American pianist right here in our Buck studio today, and that is our own, I'm going to say our very own Ariella Borod, since we have known you for your entire life and followed your career with great pleasure. And we're going to have some more right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back with our quiz question review from yesterday. And so in this case, I can invite our studio audience to blurt out the answer, because it's yesterday's question. It's already been posted online and everywhere. Yesterday's question went like this. Landing there is supposed to be free, not profitable. Anyone want to take that one on? Ever play Monopoly? Ever tuck a 500 under free parking? It's not supposed to be there. It prolongs the game to, as one writer put, agonizing lengths. And so some have literally gone for days if you do stuff like that. So follow the rules and you'll have, actually Monopoly is supposed to be just 90 minutes long. Did you know that? Can you imagine? If you play by the rules, it will be. All right, that was yesterday's question. Here's today's. These annual fires need to be extinguished completely for the secret intention to be realized. Something very familiar to all of you, I venture to say. You just have to kind of think outside the box a little. This, by the way, is the kind of question I think that AI just can't crack, because it's just too literal. So think figuratively, and maybe you'll come up with the answer between now and a minute or two before 1 o'clock Central Time. These annual fires need to be extinguished completely for the secret intention to be realized. You might even realize it today, Ariella, that experience. That's a hint. Anyway, you can email your answer to us the usual way at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Samantha, a.k.a. Sam, and we'll find out just before 1 o'clock who wins our prize and what the answer is, too. Now, the prize for all of us, back here, more music from our Buck studio, and the work of another one of those dynamos. He actually, Franz Liszt was, don't you suppose, Ariella, the composer who made a piano concert a showbiz event?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. To have been in the audience when he was performing. I love, I don't know if it's true. You would know if it's true or not, but I heard this legend that, you know, he would perform his own works, but some of what he writes is just unplayable. It's too hard even for him, the great master. And what he would do is, because he would already have women fawning all over him, he was so handsome, he would, at one of these crucial parts where it was just, you know, too difficult, he would pretend to faint, and then all of his fans would come and adoringly make sure he was okay, and then he would conveniently start again after the part that he had skipped.
I hadn't heard that. I believe it. And I'd heard something slightly different, that it wasn't Liszt who fainted, it was all those women.
Maybe it depends on the day.
Rock concert of his time. But yeah, that's the way it was. And he was one of the real pioneers in what phenomenon we still see today. Mm-hmm. In concerts.
Not
classical music so much. Although maybe we should work on that. More fainting in classical concerts.
Right, for the image.
Well, this is a handful of Liszt, and he had a ballade, kind of implies in a general sense a storyline, but what do you feel about this one?
That's right. Well, also, I mean, maybe this is true, maybe this is not true, but I've read that some of his, like Claudio Arrau, let's say, some pianists that studied with disciples of Liszt, retell a story where it's based on a legend of a man who is living on the other side of an island from a woman that he's in love with, and he swims every night to see her. And she is at a lighthouse, and she makes sure that the light is shining so that he can make it over to her every night. And so then you'll hear in the left hand this returning chromatic triplet section, which represents the water. And then as the piece goes on, as the story goes on, one night she does not make it to turn on the light, and he drowns.
Okay, but it beautiful music.
Oh.
As sad stories often
the most make. Beautiful music.
The most beautiful.
The most tragic, romantic story and music, I think, that exists.
We might have somebody fainting in here today.
We'll it see. Might even be me.
Playing the part of Franz Liszt, but here we go with his ballade number 2.
Thank you.
is this ballad number two. Well, the story behind it for sure in the notes there, played by Ariella Bowrod. We're going to take another quick break, repeat quickly the quiz question, and then have at least one more from our guest artist today here on WPR. And back now to our Buck studio. Quiz question today. You have a few minutes yet to get in with your answer. Goes like this. These annual fires need to be extinguished completely for the secret intention to be realized. What are those annual fires we're talking about? And you now have a whopping 6 or 7 minutes to identify them by emailing us at midday@wpr.org or calling Sam at 1-800-442-7106. And back now with Ariella Bowrod and Claude Debussy. And this piece kind of stands out, don't you think, from among the many other wonderful works by Debussy? There's something just very forthright about it. So simple and yet so much going on.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say that that's so much of his music, but I think this, like you're saying, it is so much... it is so beautifully and simple. It is so simple. I mean, I don't remember exactly how many measures, but it's not very many measures, not very, 2 pages. And it's kind of, I think, such his talent. He can be concise and to the point, and that's really all that there needs to be written.
And like French composers before him, he had a knack for a catchy title, whether it's literally being evoked here or not. It's kind of up to you, isn't it, Bo?
Yes. That's why I'm going to play La Fille aux Cheveux de Lin, The Girl with the Flaxen Hair. And what I love about the Book of Preludes, at least the edition that I use, the Durand version, it's at the end of the piece, and it's ... and then the title as a suggestion. This is an image you can use.
Now that you've heard it, this is what maybe I used,
yes. But I love that it's always open. It's always open to what the listener feels.
The Girl with the Flaxen Hair. lovely lyrical finale to our concert today.
Thank you. I agree. I love this piece so much. So happy it's part of my repertoire forever.
Well, so it should be. It's actually, in a way, it's a great compliment with the one we just heard, the Liszt Ballade, you know, kind of two experiences, one stormy and turbulent and the other just so simple and forthright.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for appearing in the midday again, and I'm sure it won't be your last performance, but last during my watch, and it's always been a pleasure, and we'll be looking for you either in Madison or Paris.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me play, and especially today, of all days. Thank you.
Thanks to our studio audience, and a little known fact that my boss is Peter Bryant for the next 2.5 minutes. And, somebody told him there would be cake in here after the show, so he turned up, and I guess we should at least acknowledge his presence. But he can't get out of the chair, so.
I can use this microphone.
You can, okay. Can you make this less than a minute 10?
Yes. Here, I'll come around. Oh, yeah, move.
This is my last command.
I think I'm your supervisor until 5 o'clock, technically. No, thank you, everybody, and just wanted to say a few words to let all of you know here, including members of Norman's family and everybody listening, a little bit about what Norman's colleagues think about him. It's Norman's retiring, of course, after 42 years. He's one of the most recognized and respected voices on the air, and I know that for many listeners, Norman is WPR, and there's really no way to summarize his work and impact. And Norman especially will never know
much of anything.
What a positive mentoring influence he's been on generations of his colleagues. The respect and affection he inspires gives some hint of this, as does the positive effect he's had on the work of so many people here over many years. Our listeners benefit from this ripple effect every day, and that will continue for a long time. So thank you, Norman.
Thank you, Peter Bryant. And lest we forget, the results now of the quiz question. The quiz question today was, these annual fires need to be extinguished completely for the secret intention to be realized. What is that about? Anybody want to? You're so shy because this is live radio after all. You're afraid, what if I get it wrong? I'll make a fool of myself. Okay.
Birthday candles
is the answer. That's right. And our winner today is Glenn Monte of Greenville, Wisconsin. And with an address in an email, we'll send him the prize, which is a treasure trove. So look forward to that. And I want to thank, in addition to thanking our pianist, Ariella Borod, our engineer, Brad Kohlberg, Ava Karajian in our broadcast studio, and also Sam for answering your calls, and a shout out to my brother Herb listening to us from Maryland. This is WPR.